All right, welcome back to Binge Tested. It is me, Charlie Harsh, and I am the host here of the show. And it is the podcast, a Ghostbusters podcast, where we break down the builds, the tech, and the people pushing this hobby forward. What started as a way to bring more realism and functionality into proton packs has evolved into an ecosystem of hardware, software, and modular upgrades that are honestly changing how people approach builds altogether. And today I'm joined by the man behind it all, Michael from GP Star Technologies, and we're going to get to where it all started, how it all started, and how it evolved into what it is today, because we're really going to dig into that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Michael, welcome to Bench Tested, man. How's it going?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Who were you before GP Star existed, and what were you doing professionally or creatively?
I was working a regular job as a software engineer, and I guess at around the time, sometime around 2022, just as a hobby on the side, I decided to, I'm going to build a proton pack, and I'm going to build my own electronics for it. And I wanted something that would be, I guess, something that's not a toy, but more like realistic. And to me, that would be sound and polyphonic sound and layering the sound and not have it be very janky or, you know, just really smooth and really good experience. So I started that around 2022, just on the side. And then the HasLab pack came up. So then that came out. I got that pretty early in December of 2022. And I started tearing that apart and just playing with it to see, yeah, I don't like how things are as is. So then I decided to revisit my proton pack project and start building new electronics for it. And that's pretty much how it began.
It is really neat to see that there are so many different aspects that kind of brought you into where it is today. Did you ever think that going from doing that on the side, it was going to get as big as it is today?
No, my initial goal was just to, build my home-built electronics and then just release the Totas open source and just let it float out there and let people build their own. But then people started messaging me, sending me messages saying, hey, can you build this? Can you build this for me? Can you do it for me? So I was getting bombarded with all these messages. So then that's when the idea came from Jonathan Gunn about, okay, why don't you produce, circuit boards for this and make it easier for people to build their own GP Star pack. Mm-hmm. And that's where it kind of really began to form as a company. And at the same time, people like Dustin, who contributes a lot to the code, and No Mate as well, were contributing to the code base at the same time. So things just kind of fell together all at once in that period of around early 2023.
Where did Ghostbusters itself first hit you? Was it the movies, the toys, the cartoons, something else pull you into that?
Oh, it was just in my childhood back in the 80s, just rewatching the film on, I guess at that time it was beta tapes all the time.
Oh man, beta tapes. Yeah.
Yes.
We're dating ourselves. I love that. So at what point did you go from fan to builder? What was your first real attempt at building this prop?
Actually, my first thing I built was a ghost trap. I built one of those, and then there's the Charlesworth Dynamic one that he has online.
Oh yeah.
So I did that, and we're gonna redo electronics for it. So we did electronics for that, and then posted the video on YouTube. People wanted to see it, and that's kind of like the first thing that I ever built.
Yeah, the trap is, that's not easy. That's kind of difficult because there's so little space that you have to be able to work with. Did you have the servo that moved the doors and everything?
Yeah, the servo motors, the whole thing.
Now I'm jealous. I need your plans, because that's something that I've been trying to do myself, and I think I almost burn out my servo motor putting it in backwards. But anyway, I digress. Do you remember the moment where you looked at existing packs, maybe the HasLab, for example, and you thought, this could be done better?
Oh, yeah. Basically, within the first month that I was playing around with it, I was like, okay, it turns off by itself after, I think, 5 minutes or something. So I was playing around with, built my own Keep Alive. And then I thought, okay, maybe I'll stop here. But then the more I thought about it, that's when I decided to revisit my original Proton Pack project a year prior and continue that, but put it into the HasLab.
I've seen this come up in the forum so many times, but where did the name GP Star come from? What's the meaning behind that?
Oh, wow. That comes from another lifetime. When I was younger, I was a motorcycle racer.
Oh, okay.
And one of my mechanics kind of gave me that name just for fun at the time.
GP Star. I love it. So when you started GP Star, what was broken in the hobby that you were trying to fix?
For me, the most important thing was the sound in the Proton Pack. I wanted to have polyphonic sound. So that's like mixing and layering sound together in real time, not just limited to just playing back one file at a time. That's kind of one of the features of GPStar, where, for example, you can play music while also operating your pack and firing the sounds and all those things like that together. And to me, that was the most important because it creates like a real life experience to it.
If people wanted to, they could go out and, you know, tinker with, you know, again, Arduinos and stuff like that. You've got the code out there for people to use.
Exactly. And we also have a API system built in so people can create their own add-ons, which many people have. They built their own, like their, so the recent one was like a phone attenuator. So they use the Wi-Fi API calls and they can use a mobile phone as an attenuator. Or I think somebody else recently built their own belt gizmo that interacts and triggers the different things on GPStar.
I saw that on there. It was fascinating to see how somebody could come up with that, just program it. Maybe it's got the ESP32 chip, which allows for Wi-Fi connectivity. And that's all it takes is something like that. And you're able to get in there and make it your own. And that's the cool thing that you were able to bring to the table, is that people can make this their own.
Exactly.
At what point did you realize that this wasn't just a personal project, that this was something that the community really needed?
I guess in the early days when I was posting my progress on GBFans forum and people started to interact with me and asking questions. That's when I kind of knew something, like, oh, there's something here. And then when I finally released the first part of the code is open source, and I think it was March of 2023. Then that's when the idea for, as I mentioned earlier, the push to create a own custom microcontroller board. And that's around that time where I kind of felt something like was growing. And that's when I made the decision to quit my job and do this full time.
So many things about this passion project has turned into a reality for you. And you were able to get a group of folks who were all in this together and doing it and making it successful. Another thing that I think it was Dustin, who's part of the team, has done is worked on an attenuator, right? And found a way to incorporate that into the GPStar universe.
The whole approach to GPStar, everything that we design, we think about what can this do in the future? What feature can we add? Maybe it doesn't exist now, but we can add to the existing board later. So you don't have to go out and so you're not basically locked into a fixed feature set. You can expand onto it and make it more modular.
Yeah.
So the attenuator was a perfect example of that. When we originally designed the first circuit board, we left some expansion ports on the board. So then the attenuator came around and that just plugs directly into the system.
What is GPStar actually at its core? If someone has no idea, how would you explain the system to them?
I would call it an open source Proton Pack modular system that's designed to be the best they can be. It's always improving. It allows you to tweak it to basically any way that you want it. Continue improvements over time. It's more like an experience and ecosystem.
So it started out with the pack and then the wand. But with the wand, the Hasbro one, for example, you could not replace everything at once. It didn't start off like it is now where you can replace everything. You had to kind of piece it out, right? With certain parts of GPStar keeping other parts of the Hasbro wand.
No, at first it didn't start that way. It was at first just the main board and you used all the rest of the stock pieces in the wand. And then over time, actually pretty early on, Fruto Technology reached out and they offered to produce some like a bar graph and some additional lighting systems for the wand. So we partnered with them for a bit to help us get things moving faster because at the time we're still early on into starting the company. And getting the goal was to get the system out. And then Fruto and other companies we leveraged to help us get things out there quicker.
Now, not only do you guys have different sounds coming out of the pack, you also have different complete sounds coming out of the wand as well.
That's right. We also have audio on the Neutrono ones, not just the Hasbro one, but also the Max Factory ones. Our kits for those too. We offer a speaker option for that.
So you've got a team of people who are helping you out. And they're also, I'm sure, in your ear saying, hey, we got to do this. We got to try this. What is the one thing that sticks out that you said, we got to do that?
Well, for me, it was the GPStar audio. It was our own in-house built audio, polyphonic audio board. When we originally started the project, we were using audio technology from Robert Sonic's, the Wave Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
But that's such the board is so big and very expensive. So early on, basically when the company started, that was the first thing that was like, okay, we have to do this. And we came up with that about things about 8 months after when we first started our own. Basically, we slimmed down the board to basically a fraction of the size of a wave trader and all the same features. And yeah, that was the most important thing for us.
The one thing that stands out to me with this is the communication between the wand and the pack. Now, that's not simple, right? So how does that actually work behind the scenes?
They're both actually in their own independent systems. So you could basically run the wand by itself with just a battery. And we do have standalone kits for the wand where you can just basically have a wand and no pack and still have all the same features. So it's not just like one system. It's two systems talking to each other.
What are the biggest challenges, or when you think back, that it was getting to make all this feel instant and seamless? What was that big challenge with that?
It's definitely the audio. You can't have the seamless without the seamless audio. And for that, you need a polyphonic audio player. Without that seamless experience, if it's not seamless, it takes it away from the experience. But if it's seamless and smooth, then you stay drawn in. And it's like, oh, this is a real thing. Like, you're holding a real piece of equipment. And that was the main goal behind starting this when this was first started.
So let's talk about the evolution from the GP Star kit to GP Star 2. What forced that leap?
Two things was, first, we wanted to move to more updated processors. Before, we were running 18 mega chips, which were old 8-bit processors. Mm-hmm. And so we switched to ESP32 systems, 32-bit processors, and a lot more power, a lot more features built in, like wireless integration. And we wanted to be able to do more things like cross-communication between devices. For example, a perfect example is our Proton Stream Target Trainer, where we have infrared technology built into GP Star 2 and communicate over infrared to other devices. So if we can trigger ghost sounds from a trap, or in this case, shoot at targets. Doing that with the older system wasn't really, I guess it was feasible, but not quite the same, because the older system, again, was an older 8-bit chip, and we're starting to run out of memory on the system. So that was basically the main push, was get to something with more beefier memory, more processing power.
Just to get it ready to roll. Yeah,
to get it ready. And then to add in new features, like the cross-communication between devices, more real-time simulation with more sensors. So for example, instead of just behavior simulation, if it's just pre-programmed based on timers, it can now be based on real-time simulation. So with GP Star 2, if you shake the wand, it will actually trigger sound effects of you hitting like the wall with your proton stream, for example.
No way. Where did that come from? I mean, how did you think, like, man, we need to integrate like some, you know, movement into this?
Well, with GP Star 2, I was thinking, okay, what can we add to make this more of a realistic experience? So we already had the polyphonic audio. So let's start adding some a gyrometer and onto the wand, and accelerometer, so we can see the system knows what the position and orientation the wand is doing. If somebody shakes it very fast, then we can think, okay, something happened, maybe they shooting at a ghost. So we can, maybe based on those movements, we can actually trigger different sound effects or different lighting effects without keeping the experience really smooth and seamless.
Is this all on board, on this, yep, this new board?
Yep, there's a gyrometer and accelerometer on the wand board and on the pack board, which is not utilized. It's on the GP Star 2 pack board. We have a temperature and humidity sensor, but we haven't been using it yet. But we have features coming in later in the future to utilize that, for example.
And that goes with the immersive experience that you were talking about, that you, yes, felt like it just needed. So not only does it have Wi-Fi, people were wanting to know, how can we update the software and firmware without having to open up the pack or the wand every time? And these new boards on GP Star 2, that solved that issue.
That's correct. Everything's now wireless for updating the firmware.
GP Star just announced something too that is really neat, because this gives a Ghostbuster a chance to, well, hopefully catch a real ghost. What is that all about?
That's right. It's kind of inspired by the in Frozen Empire when they're shooting the target ghost.
Oh, well, yeah, when Lucky's in the lab.
Correct. So that's when I was thinking, okay, we have infrared. Because the original idea for the infrared was to communicate with the ghost trap. But then I was thinking, okay, what else can we use infrared for? Oh, maybe use it for shooting targets. So that's the whole idea with we call it the PSTT, or PSS, for example. But yeah, the whole idea for that came from that. So, okay, it's a good idea. So
yeah, how far do you have to be, or can you be, to shoot the target for it to read it?
Ah, You know what? We've never done a maximum distance, but I think line of sight, you should probably get up to at least 20 to 30 meters.
That's a decent chunk away. I don't even think they could get that far in the movie.
No, it can be, maybe trying to hit it at that distance might be a bit difficult, but yeah.
And hey, that's how you get good at it though, right?
Exactly.
Break down the product lineup for someone stepping into GP Star for the first time. What are the entry points? I know you've got starting out with the light version, right?
Yes, so the GP Star Light is it's more designed for the Hasbro packs, for people who just want just to put a pack board only in their system and use a stock unmodified Hasbro wand. So we have the power sensor. We can detect what the wand is doing based on the power levels of the wand. So that's basically the entry level kit. And then the next level up, you start going into modifying the wand. I'm talking about just the Hasbro now, because there's kits for different, like Max Factory, for example.
Oh, okay.
But for the Hasbro, the next level up would be from the light to the basic kit, which is basically replacing the board in the wand and adding the GPSR audio on the wand. And then you can go from there up to different tiers and add on more things, like replacing the barrel lighting, adding hat lights to the Hasbro wand, things like that. So basically, it's a modular system, so you can add more to it. For example, later on, if you don't want to go full in all the way, you can go partially in and then build up onto it over time.
Okay, so if somebody wants just enough versus full hero build, how should they think about those tiers?
In the case of Hasbro, the tiers is more about the difficulty on modifying the Hasbro wand. So the full tier one, you have to basically pop open the barrel and pull out everything from the wand. That's a bit more work compared to the basic tier, where it's just, okay, just drop the board in and that's it, and the bar graph. So depending on how you feel, how comfortable you feel ripping apart the Hasbro wand. But for example, like the Max Factory one, there's really no basic tier. It's just basically a full-in tier and basically drop in everything into it, which in the case of the Max Factory, it's much easier to work on because it's designed like the actual prop. There's no glue. It's just really seamless, the build.
Oh, okay.
So they both have their pros and cons.
So one of the smartest things that you did is the hot swappable system. For someone like me, that is awesome. So if I was able to get the GP Star 2 kit and I've just got the GP Star kit, I could get those two boards and they would seamlessly go in?
Yep. If you have a GP Star 1 kit, all you have to do is replace the main boards in both the wand and pack, and that's it.
Was that driven by the builders having multiple setups, or how did that come about?
It's just the philosophy. I wanted to make it basically a modular system and we don't want to redesign everything all over again. So have it interact with the existing parts. That's the whole point behind it. So if you have a GP Star 1 set up and you want to switch to GP Star 2, you don't have to buy a full kit anymore. Just buy the two main boards and that's it.
What is it that you see for the future of GP Star? Where is it headed?
I see more, I talked about this earlier, more connectivity between devices. So for one thing that's coming out, we have coming out soon is the Ghost Trap, and the PSTT system that we just released was kind of like a test bed towards for the Ghost Trap to have interactivity between the pack and the wand and the trap.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some exciting ideas about that, where the wand, you can actually use the wand to bring a ghost down into the trap and have the whole thing a seamless experience. So we're working towards something like that.
That's just awesome. That is so cool. Now, is that system with the trap, is there going to be a possibility that somebody could integrate that in, say, a 3D printed, Charlesworth Dynamics trap?
That's the whole idea. We're working with Frito Technology on the trap. Frito is actually doing the hardware for the trap. The GP Star is doing the code for them.
Okay.
Yeah, just because it makes it much easier to handle multiple projects and updates at the same time.
Teamwork.
So the trap, yeah, exactly, teamwork, where people come together and contribute. But the idea was, when I was talking to Frito about the trap, was not just think about the Hasbro trap, but think about other traps as well, so you can have your system work in multiple things.
What is one thing that you could tease that we could look forward to for GP Star?
There is an idea of having the trap talk to an ECU, something that Nomake, I say Nomake, I don't know if it's saying his name wrong, but he has an idea about having the trap to be able to talk to a containment unit. But we don't quite know how much we can do that, because based on the current hardware specs of the trap, but could see some interaction between a trap and a containment unit coming. We'll see.
So many different ideas. So many people can contribute by throwing that out. And I noticed too on the GitHub, that you guys have a section where people, if they have ideas, they can upload those. They can submit them to you.
Another idea too, I guess I'll throw this out there, is with the PSDP system, we're going to be coming out with firmware updates where you can have link multiple systems together. So it can be the, kind of like a game system, a target game system, and have multiple GPStar wands and packs playing together in the same system.
So if you got your Ghostbusters team together, maybe at an event or something like that, maybe they could let one of the kids or somebody come up, put on the pack, and shoot some targets, shoot some ghosts.
Exactly. But not more than just that, though, is more of, say you have more than one GPStar wand there, you can have two or three, and can both shoot at the same ghost at the same time. The ghost will know which wand is hitting the ghost and can do different effects and different interaction based on who hit the ghost. Or can do, or even things based, just because we have the Wi-Fi and the different sensors in the wand, we can do things like crossing the streams, for example, between multiple GPStar wands. Yeah, just a few ideas that we're throwing around and to integrate into the future firmware.
Michael, GPStar Technologies, they can also go to gpstartechnologies.com. Is there any other place that they can reach you at, my friend?
If you just go to gpstartechnologies.com, you can go to our support and download page. And there's links to our GitHub, to our Facebook page, all the manuals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything you need is there.
That's awesome. Michael, my friend, I appreciate you with GPStar Technologies. That'll do it for this episode of Bench Tested. We'll catch you on the next one.